What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It's February 17th, 2026. We're recording this on Monday, February 16th at about 1:30 p.m. on the rainy, dreary left coast, at least this part of it, the Southern California part of it. Mud slides and flash floods galore. It's always something in California. That's not true. It's normally sunny and 74 for 90% of the time. But every now and then, we got to deal with a little bit of stuff and we get pissy about it. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Doing all right, man, except for I just got brutally frame mogged by two mid-tier moids, so that's not going great.
What?
You know, there's like an internet influencer called Clavicular, who's in the manosphere, who's like inspired this whole new lingo. You missed all of this?
Yeah. Moids?
He sees a guy that hangs out with Andrew Tate. Moids are like a male humanoid, so he's basically calling somebody a non-player character. They use foids for feminoids. It's incel fucking lingo. We don't have to get into it. It's just like, when you see Clavicular pop up on your timeline, just know he is a psyop being run by somebody to make everyone fucking dumber.
Okay. All right. But you got frame mapped? Is that what you said?
Frame mog. Okay, so mog is short for AMOG, which stands for alpha male of the group. It's here you establish yourself as an alpha by doing something. Frame mog means just like having a better body than somebody. So I'm basically showing somebody up by having a better body than them. I'm frame mogging them.
Okay.
All right, we're caught up. We had a fun show. We're going to talk about some resistance to ice facilities. I know Matt talked to an organizer about the same thing on a Good Skews the other day. We independently had the same idea for episodes, so we're coming at it from different angles, though. But then we're going to bring on Corey to talk about a mayoral scandal in his hometown that is fucking hilarious. Before we get to that, though, I want to talk about another country we owe an apology to. We talked about recently about how we've sent MAGA people all over. We franchised all over the globe.
Yeah.
New country we owe an apology to is Portugal, who had resisted it, but now Portugal has fallen to whatever this fucking...
Well, yeah, but
yeah, there we go.
MAPA, I guess it'd be MAPA, or no, wait, no. That'd be Make America Portugal Again. You can't, it'd be MPGA. Make Portugal. You can't, it doesn't flow as well.
Mbaga. So... Portugal has the first presidential runoff election in 40 years last weekend. There were 14 candidates to split the vote a lot. The leading vote getter was a Socialist Party candidate by the name of Antonio José Seguro. And he won first place in the runoff, got 31%, then got 60-some% in the runoff. But I want to talk about the guy who lost. He ended up getting 33% of the votes. A guy named André Ventura, who represents a fairly new political party called Chega, which is Portugal's populist right nationalist party. All right. When I say they're MAGA-y, they're fully into it, even down to making AI rap videos starring the candidate. If you got this video, Matt. Yeah. Okay. He's saying he's rapping it. Yeah, this is not Bangladesh. You can tell.
Keep Portugal for Portuguese, I'm assuming. Yeah, keep the dirty the Bangladesh are their Mexicans, I guess, or you know, Guatemalans.
I don't know if their beef is with like people from Africa who moved there from former Portuguese colonies. But like, I have no idea where Bangladesh got to the fucking thing. It's just like a thing he blurted out and became a slogan.
Yeah.
Maybe they have Bangladeshis in Portugal. I don't.
But yeah, one of the worst things about what we've done here as a country and export is like illustrating to so many other people around the world that like all those years of like recent or modern politics, which involved like at least a semblance of, you know, like decorum or class or whatever, pretend it was like illustrating to people that like people, a large enough group of people never gave a fuck about any of that and would generally prefer that you act like, you know, a pro wrestler, you know, with a rapper gimmick or whatever, and, you know, make AI videos of yourself and just be as stupid as fucking possible. And there's enough of a, you know, voting block that likes that kind of thing that you can succeed with that, which is a real shame. They didn't used to know that for a long time, and Donald Trump, blew that open for everybody.
The entirety of my life, if a college professor got up in front of a sociology class and said that the fake civility of American empire and the lies about spreading free markets are just out of greed and rape and empire, you would have been called like an America-hating asshole. And then now everybody just gets up on the microphone and goes, this is about greed, rape, and power. And everybody goes, woo! And they're like,
right.
So, So Ventura, Andre Ventura specifically. So to get the general vibe of this guy and how dumb everything has gotten, like during the COVID pandemic, he proposed serious restrictions on freedom of movement to control the spread of the disease. We're like, wait, that sounds like lefty. Except he wanted to propose restrictions specifically on just the Romani communities in Portugal, who he blamed basically solely for spreading the disease. So it was the gypsies, Trey.
Right, yeah. It's always the gypsies over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get, the whole thing. I've talked about this before, I know, because this has like been a pet thing of mine ever since I realized it. But one of the things I find that's super funny to me that you see play out on the internet periodically is like, and when I say the internet, of course, I mean Reddit, but not just Reddit, Twitter, or wherever else. It's like Europeans on there talking about like how horribly racist, you know, America is. But then like gypsies come up and and they do this whole thing where they're like, well, no, you don't understand. That's not the same thing, okay? That's not like American racism. You don't understand. See, gypsies are, like, bad, right? It's like it's not like you guys with black people who are cool. Gypsies are, like, they don't work. They rob you. And then you have all these Americans being like, that you are literally doing what American racists do for black people. And they're like, yeah, but it's about gypsies, and it's not like that. And, you know, so anyway, it's a whole thing over there, apparently.
Well, I believe gypsy is the unwoke racist term for them, and we're using it. So I just want to, like, I don't know how to do it. Yeah,
but we
yeah.
don't have, again, I don't know. I we feel like have. It can't come from any kind of place of malice or anything from an American. I really think that because we don't, that's not, they're not a thing here. So, like, it's, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think it's not a problem.
I would have thought we'd all gotten over it after the great piece of pro-Romani propaganda known as Peaky Blinders. Mm-hmm. But they were robbing you. But they did it organized, like, you know.
Are they Romani in that show, by the way? Because there's two types of gypsies. There's the travelers, right, who are in, like, the UK. Mm-hmm. And then there's the Romani in Europe. And they're both called gypsies separately. The heavyweight champion, Tyson Fury or whatever, he's like the mm-hmm. Peaky Blinder type. Maybe they are the same, though. I don't know. I'm gypsy dumb. But I know that neither one of them is. And also Snatch, Brad Pitt and them in Snatch, that's mm-hmm. the former type as well. But anyway, mm-hmm. that's as much as I know about gypsies.
Ventura, his day job is being a soccer commentator. But he also published two novellas, one called Montenegro and another one called The Last Dawn of Islam. You want to guess where this is going, Trey? Both had significant elements of female submission and homoeroticism. In Montenegro, the Arab word for uprising, which is, you know, intifada, is used four times. Three times the metaphor for strength and courage, which is how it's intended, and once when describing the act of sexual penetration. In the other one, is a novel about the death of Yasser Arafat, and it was suspended by its publishers for its incendiary potential for its gratuitous reference to the Prophet Muhammad. They're calling him the most want-to-be-murdered motherfucker alive. So, this is like, okay... So back in 2020, an actor, a local actor, like some movie actor, I think he was doing theater, a guy named Bruno Conde, who was a black guy, was an immigrant from Africa. He was murdered in a premeditated, like, racist homicide by a papaw neighbor. And Ventura organized a counter-protest because there were people having anti-racist demonstrations around the country because of this horrific racist murder. And he organized a counter-demonstration where they chanted, "Portugal is not racist." All right? The murderer was a former soldier in the colonial war against African independence in a former Portuguese colony of Angola. And so he goes to this counter-protest to chant, Portugal's not racist. As white people, what is it in our DNA when anything happens anywhere and we have to pop up and go, not all fucking white people?
Yeah, but it's funny. What's also funny about that is that oftentimes, the white people who feel it necessary to say, hey, not all white people, they are the white people who do the things. You know what I mean? Like racist white people are the ones who feel the need to be like, hey, don't just act like we're racist just because we're white. Like, you know, I'm white, you're white. I don't think I've ever had that response to when someone says this country's racist or white people. I'm like, yeah, no, I hear you. We've been really lighting it up for a long time on the racism charts, like for sure. But, you know, but actual racists get all defensive about it. So, you know,
yeah,
how that works.
But it's like, I'm trying to think of like the interpersonal equivalent of it. It's like if I heard like across town, somebody's like, hey, America's racist. I got in my car. I drove all the way over there. I knocked on their door and they open and go like, not me.
Yeah, I mean, insane. I guess in a way, that's kind of my whole career when I think about it.
Fair enough.
anyway,
I do think like something about this modern edition of America, like where there's this like this political ethos, or it's not even really political. It's just it's just like a psychological disorder. Like it like spreads internationally. It feels like something about like we've unleashed in people. It's like everyone gets to wants to be their own little feudal lord tyrant.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just like, yep, you can do that. We've allowed it. Look at it, you can be, whether you want to own a car dealership or become president of Portugal, fucking just be a tyrant. You know, this is how it goes.
Yeah. All right, well, as Mark said, we got a fun show coming up for you later. Shifting gears a little bit, it is politics, but it's local politics and, like, the truly, like, the dumbest iteration of local politics I think you can find, considering the the source, i.e. Corey's hometown. I'm looking forward to it. But first, we start with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. This week's DD, this lady for putting the wrong date in her Google calendar to start the revolution.
Air called 911, got first responders. There's the video right now. Apparently spraying some sort of an accelerant and then setting it on fire. And again, she drove away, but obviously here we have the video.
All right. So this happened in Kansas City. This woman set fire to what was supposed to be potentially an ICE warehouse. And now if pretending she's trying to stop the warehouse, like a detention facility, she's too late to have already succeeded because the city, like the sale was pulled after she fucking, before she set this did this like active revolution / stochastic terror attack with a can of lighter fluid. I was just like, talk about this specific lady for a second. This video is 8.5 minutes long. To tell you how dumb this is, I watched the whole raw video. Wow. And the reason she's on video for 8.5 minutes is because TV news cameras were already set up to report on the fact the deal to sell the warehouse had fallen through. The reason she's caught is that she's already pre-successful. Do you understand how stupid this is?
Yeah. Well, it's also, it's just, I don't know. That's a wild, to me, that feels like a wild amount of time to be committing arson in broad daylight. Like, whether you are aware you're on video or not, and you would think in 2026 you always have to assume that you are. So yeah, seems like she didn't give much of a fuck, it would appear to me.
Yeah, and this is basically just like the reason the sale was pulled. The property owner was named Platform Ventures, said it was no longer moving forward with any sale of the site to the U.S. government, basically because of so many complaints to City Hall. They didn't want to be local pariahs. I do want to say that cops have still not found this queen. She drove away. This was on Thursday. Okay. And there's no one's bothered to find her.
Guess I was wrong. You know, it seems like it worked out, I guess, or at least that part of it so far. Yeah, you gotta watch it with this shit, dude. They'll put you in fucking Supermax prison for this type of thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, don't do this.
No.
Like, it's like,
no. Like, literally, like 23-hour lockdown. You'll be in there with El Chapo or the Lady El Chapo or whatever and shit for this type of shit.
I don't know what, the amount of terrorism enhancements they could hit you for this, for the federal charge. Like, you get 10 years in prison for not doing anything, mildly setting fire to the window of a warehouse that, get involved. Call you, but like we're presuming that she was trying to stop. I do want to say here there are other possibilities here. She could be mad that the sale didn't go through. She could have been wanted to burn it down because the owners didn't sell it. That's a possibility. And also, this is the real dark thing here. Like she might have thought there were already migrants in there.
That crossed my mind.
There have been like for attempted arsons on hotels where migrants are housed in a UK, for example. But I do want to talk about the trouble the government's been having building these and why everybody seems to fucking hate them all over the country. For context, ICE is planning to spend $38.3 billion on buying new warehouses to build detention centers across the U.S. And the Washington Post reported in December that the combined facilities under consideration from ICE would be able to hold roughly 80,000 new detainees at any given time. They currently have the ability to hold about 100,000. So you're talking about 180,000 people if they deploy all these to housing people in American concentration camps, essentially. And I know the word concentration camp is loaded because we all specifically know it as death camps with the Holocaust. I'm not saying that theirs are going to instantly become death camps or anything like that, but people are dying in these things. People are being sexually assaulted in these things. People are having their medicine taken away till they die in these things. This just fucking pissed me off. Let me read this from you. This headline, despite increased profits, private prison companies want to cage even more people. So you're not just getting political pressure.
That does, but that... I don't get that. Despite increased profits, they want. I mean, they should be like, yeah, isn't that because of increased profits or whatever? You know what I mean? Like, you know, businesses are booming and their business is caging people, so of course they're going to want to cage more people. That's how they got the money in the first place.
Right. Everybody wants to make more money. I know what you're saying, but the fact is, these guys are getting everything they want. But they're not. But the administration's incompetence, as far as like they haven't been able to come through with detaining as many people as they promised they would. And these greedy ass motherfuckers are complaining and putting more pressure on the administration to cage more people so they can put in a pool at their third house.
Yeah. No, I'm not defending it. I'm saying it's like I'm saying it's like yeah, no shit. That's they're evil. That's what you know. That's what they do.
Let me quote here, quote from a guy on this earnings call. Quote, one of the big questions has been the pace of detention by ICE, that it's been below what investors thought it was going to be, one caller said. I think people thought we'd be at that 100,000 level. We're a little over 70,000. I hate the fact that we live in a society that like financially incentivizes this shit, so we have to like live in communities with these people. You can construct a society where you would never know that someone this fucking evil was your neighbor.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't be allowed the opportunity to be in a business like this.
Yeah, they got like Zoom calls with earning reports and line graphs and charts and stuff. They're all about, you know, the number of fathers and sons and husbands and wives and shit that are being detained, some illegally, by ICE, but it's just numbers on a screen related to some position they had because some metric said that it would be, you know, profitable over the near term or whatever the fuck, and it's just all so, soulless and cynical and unfortunate, inhuman, but, you know, gotta make that money, baby.
Yeah, so save some sympathy in your heart for these guys who were upset that their long position on children's tears hasn't paid off to quite the degree they had hoped. The fun part here is what's actually staying in their way as ICE continues to try to expand the state-held warehouses is what they're running into, and this is going to be deeply funny to anybody who lives in a city that can't get housing or transit built. NIMBYism.
Mm-hmm. Not surprised by that either.
Yeah. The DHS, I'm quoting here from this MS Now story, DHS has spent millions of dollars on facilities in Arizona and Maryland. The Associated Press compiled a list of states where federal officials have been touring locations, including Florida, Indiana, and Mississippi, where several sites have already been purchased. So this basically the same reason we can't get high-speed rail, affordable housing, homeless shelters, you also can't have concentration camps. So at least we're all fucked by the same goddamn thing.
I know, that's exactly what I thought when you said that. I was like, for once, it goes the other way. You know, it's fine, you know. Like, that's like that meme about, you know, the worst person you know made a really good point or whatever is how I feel about NIMBYism stopping the spread of ICE detention centers. Because, yeah, it's almost always something that would be a net good for most people. And then, you know, like rich suburbanites and shit are like, absolutely not. So it's nice to see it go the other way for once.
There was a public park here in Los Angeles where a local city councilman tried to get, like, the park was already there, mind you. He tried to get a playground put into this park. And it was met with local resistance from people because they thought if you put in the playground, then it would bring traffic to their neighborhood. Which it probably would. People would be, four or five cars would come at a time and park on the street. So they're so annoyed at four more parking spots being taken that they pushed out the sound of children's laughter.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we live. So, continuing, for example, plan to convert a former Pep Boys distribution center, guy we live in a bleak timeline, and Chester, New York, into a deportation center is met with bipartisan outcry. The tiny town in Orange County usually votes Republican, but the New York Times reported that, quote, Republican and Democrat elected officials and residents across the Hudson Valley region lambasted the plan, expressing fears the immigration operation would overwhelm scarce local resources and unleash a torrent of fraught encounters with federal agents.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, probably. I mean, like,
you're probably right about that.
Even if you're pro deportation, mass deportations, you have to be aware at this point, if you put a fucking ICE detention facility in your town, that a bunch of people are going to show up and protest there, and you're going to deal with tear gas and noise at all hours of the night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, you think about it, and it's like even people, anyone on both sides, no one wants it, like, in their neighborhood or across the street from them, like I said, regardless of which side they're on, because they just don't want to put up with the fucking circus it would involve. But, you know, none of that even needs to be happening if they just weren't doing the shit they're doing in the first place. So it's still their fault, but I'm saying whichever side you hate, you don't want to deal with it near you, I feel like. So where they're going to put it.
I don't like. Yeah, like so. Like, let me another example. This happened. Republican Mayor David Holt of Oklahoma City issued a statement last month to quote commend the owners for their decision not to engage with DHS talks after a city rejected to the sale to a property sale. The Republican Mayor of Oklahoma City, don't want this shit. Let's go over to Maryland. Howard County officials passed emergency legislation and revoked permits to block a 29,000 square foot private ICE detention center from opening in Elk Ridge. In Mississippi, U.S. Senator Roger Wicker, Republican Mississippi, sent a letter to Kristi Noem. He expressed opposition to a proposed DHS plan to purchase a warehouse in Byhalia. Byhalia? Is that how you say that?
I don't know. Never heard of that. Byhalia. Byhalia, Mississippi. Byhalia. That's probably how they say it.
That's probably how you say it. The warehouse design is an industrial site to, this is I'm quoting here from Wicker's letter. The warehouse is designed as an industrial site to attract economic investment in Mississippi. Converting this site to an ICE detention facility would strain the existing local infrastructure and foreclose on economic opportunities better suited for this site. You're fucking with the tax base. How will the mayor afford handouts to local car dealerships? Going to Pennsylvania, John Fetterman put out a letter opposing an ICE facility. But basically it amounted to, I'm cool with concentration camps, but not when they overload the sewer systems.
We got to be reasonable here, you know?
Yeah. Here's the real baller-ass one. In Surprise, Arizona, officials, like, they had a super long-ass fucking city council meeting where they were subjected to a barrage of complaints from local officials, from local citizens. And then, basically, DHS bought a 418,000-square-foot warehouse and didn't tell the city. So this is how ICE is trying to, DHS is trying to get around this, is they're trying to buy these up in secret before people can complain. Even Paul Gosar, remember Gosar? He's the MAGA dentist whose family hates him in Congress.
Yes, how can I forget?
A guy stood up in front of the mayor at a city council meeting and read a newspaper story from the 1940s about a German mayor who, after he learned the full truth about a local camp when it was freed, went home and put a gun in his mouth. The guy told the mayor to consider what the mayor of Erdorf must have thought before he died by suicide. Quote, he might have thought, how is this my fault? I had no jurisdiction over this. Maybe he said, this site was not subject to local zoning. And I would like, Trey, put yourself in the mind of a guy who's reading a letter about the Holocaust. He's fucking sitting, these people can't, like, Jesus, people are fired up, dude. You can't win in this environment. So I want to say that the woman in charge of all this is surely focused on this, right? So I want to read this story about Kristi Noem from the Wall Street Journal, a couple of brief excerpts. 2 days after they killed Alex Pretty, Corey Lewandowski texted the White House that they needed to help Kristi Noem out by buying an ad, and they fucking ghosted him. Within DHS, Kristi Noem and Corey Lewandowski is a well-known affair partner.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I knew he was somebody's affair partner, and it is her. They still work together and shit, like, to this day.
Yeah, he's not an official government employee, but essentially functions as her chief of staff at the fucking illegally created position that doesn't pay.
Is she still married to some other dude?
Yeah, they're both married to other people.
Okay.
Within DHS, Kristi Noem and Corey Lewandowski frequently berate senior-level staff, give polygraph tests to employees they don't trust, and have fired employees. In one incident, they fired a U.S. Coast Guard pilot. They fly around Coast Guard planes, historically. After Noem's blanket was left behind on a plane, they moved from one private jet to another one. The pilot left her blanket on the first plane, so they fired him. But they had to switch planes. They were switching planes because of a maintenance issue. The Coast Guard pilot was initially fired and told to take a commercial flight home when they reached their destination. But they eventually reinstated him because no one else was available to fly them home. So they fired him. They had to give his job back because neither one of them knew how to fly their own fucking plane.
I think I would have told him to fuck off and just took that Southwest flight home myself and started crop dusting or something. But I don't know. It's easy for me to say. Might be a pretty sweet gig flying bitches around all the time. But
that was their last plane, but they bought a brand new jet for $70 million. That there was a private room for them to fuck on. And official documents, the luxury plane is earmarked for, quote, high-profile deportation. So they bought a plane to deport, I don't know, Bad Bunny, but until they find a place to send him, they're just fried around fucking. But the other reason you wouldn't should want one of these facilities in your goddamn city is, like, she has taken over authority to, like, process every payment that DHS makes. It's over $100,000. Like, for example, Florida officials have struggled to secure money for months for their work building alligator Alcatraz. And they haven't been paid for it. It sounds like another reason to not join the process of building the fucking camps.
Yeah, I thought that they got juiced with all kinds of money, like, as part of the
state money,
or whatever. Like, ICE and all that. They got like
they gave it to DHS, but yeah. DHS hasn't paid the contractors.
Right, just because of incompetency or corruption, they're using it on fuck planes or something instead. Or either, but yeah, nobody knows.
Well, yeah. If we find out at all, it'll be in the next presidential administration.
Right.
So, but here's the funny one, the real punchline to all this. One of the contracts for bulk steel sat on Noam's desk for approval for so long that from the time the deal was struck in December until it was signed February 10th, the price of steel went up more than $100 million. This was for steel to build the wall, Trey. Trump tariffed the wall.
Nowhere is safe.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Take it.
Yeah, we'll take a quick break, right? And then after this, you know him, you love him. He'll be here, the man himself, the Cho, right after this. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Look, sometimes it feels like everybody else got their relationship figured out but you. You know, you look at social media, everybody's all happy, bright, shiny, and all that. Makes you think every couple's perfect. Everybody out there's thriving except for you, but that ain't real life. Can't compare your everyday to other people's highlight reels. That ain't healthy. You know, everybody, each and every one of us learning as we go. That's what living is. Therapy can help you sort through that process. Whether you got something you're trying to fix or something you're trying to understand better or just, you know, get clear on what you want next in this thing we call life, having a professional to talk to can make a big difference. And BetterHelp does the hard part up front. You just answer a few questions and they'll match you with a licensed therapist and get you started. And if that's not the right fit, then you can switch anytime you want to. No drama. Easy as pie. They're the largest online therapy platform in the world with 30,000 therapists. They've helped more than 6 million people. The average session rating is 4.9 out of 5. So clearly, it's working for folks. And that's because the therapists at BetterHelp are fully licensed in the U.S. and they follow a strict code of conduct. You just fill out a short questionnaire. They match you with somebody who fits your specific needs. They've been doing this for over 12 years now, so you're getting pretty good at it. But on the off chance you don't like your match, again, you could switch up anytime, whenever you want to. No questions asked. So sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com/skews. That's better, H-E-L-P, BetterHelp.com/skews, S-K-E-W-S. One more time. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com/skews. Weekly Skews is brought to you by ZBiotics. Let's face it, don't bounce back the next day like I used to after drinking and whatnot. No, I feel like I got hit by a truck a lot of times. So, you know, I used to think I had to choose between having a fun night and being at all productive the next day ever since I hit, like, I don't know, 30 or so. Been trying to reclaim my mornings, though, try to do something about that because I sure ain't going to give up the nights. You know what I'm saying? I like having a good time, but I like getting up the next day and actually being able to do something with myself. So what I do now is I plan ahead. Now I take ZBiotics pre-alcohol before I even start drinking. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle those rough mornings after drinking. See, when you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut, and it's a buildup of that byproduct, not dehydration itself, that's to blame for those rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme that breaks that byproduct down. That's how it works. So if you just remember to make ZBiotics pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, and then, of course, as always, drink responsibly, and you will be at your best tomorrow. If you're ready to try it, you should be. Give it a shot. Go to ZBiotics.com/skew now. You get 15% off your first order when you use the promo code SKEW, S-K-E-W, SKEW, at checkout. It's backed, as always, by 100% money-back guarantees. One more time, go to ZBiotics.com/skew and use the promo code SKEW for 15% off.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, we're back. There he is, our senior Georgia correspondent, living up to the title this week.
That's right.
Part of Georgia, his stomping grounds. Corey Ryan Forster here to talk about North Georgia drama. But this started with you texting the group chat. Some of this stuff was happening, and Mark was like, "You need to come on Skews and break this down." So I don't know all the details, but I'm looking forward to it. But Mark, I don't know if you want to sort of set it up a little bit or what.
Tell me about it, please. All right, we're going to take this in three parts, okay? We're going to begin by talking about who Mayor Trey Deck is, or former Mayor Trey Deck was.
Don't look now, it's the watermelon man.
Okay.
That's him.
Corey's going to explain why that way he's singing that song. Then we're going to talk about what Trey Deck, and we're going to call him Deck here from here on out, because there's two Treys involved in the Trey we're talking to, and then the Trey's Wario, Trey Deck. Then we're going to talk about what he was removed for. And then thirdly, we'll talk about whether there's other shenanigans involved, which is the part where Corey is kind of on Deck's side, even though he's a huge shithead, because it's all very corrupt, right?
Yeah, man. That's the thing in my town, is that, like, if I am to be involved in local politics at all and even make a choice, every single one person that I'd be voting for, we don't share actual, like, macro opinions with each other. Like, there's no libertarian or liberal candidate. So, you know, that's always been a little bit weird for me. But also, I need to remind you guys that, you know, I am going to talk about this. And before I say anything, I should say that anything that comes out of my mouth is alleged and might be false and or not be sued for. But
I was going to remind you to use the word alleged a lot lately. But I do want to set it in context here.
Dude, you're going to get sick of it.
Corey's a resident of Chickamauga, Georgia, which is a town in northwest Georgia, which is in Marjorie Taylor Greene's congressional district, or was her district. The closest
city is
Chattanooga,
right? We're not even talking about any of that.
Right. And the closest city, like where you guys go to see a movie, is like Chattanooga, Tennessee, right?
Correct. Yeah, and I'll just say from my perspective, me, Corey, and Drew, especially, and this probably applies to you too, Mark, but like me and Drew, like, we met, we all found out we're all from like small southern towns or whatever, and so, you know, became buddies and shit. But then over the years, me and Drew kept having this experience where, like, Corey'd be like, "Man, you know how in y'all's hometown, insert batshit insanity or whatever, like, that even in like Salina and Sunbright, where me and Drew are from, me and Drew were like, bro, what fucking, that happened your hometown?
Can I tell my favorite one?
Yeah.
Can I tell my favorite one? It's the time when at Corey's church, the preacher made his son stand in front of the church and apologizing for jerking off while watching the show Reba.
But it's just all like wild shit, dude.
But yeah, it's 100% true. It's so normal here.
All right, okay. So we're talking about a city of 2,917 people as of the 2020 census.
By the way.
Okay, because it had gone down since the 2010 census by like 100 people. Anyway, my point is, like, I want everybody to keep in mind the stakes here. They are this low. We're talking about the mayorality of a city of 2,900 people. And here's a video. This first video on play here to set the vibe is former Mayor Trey Deck screaming outside of a hearing that was held to decide whether or not he was going to be kicked out of office, which he was.
I believe we the people!
Dude, he looks like a little elf doll that just came to life and just immediately was like, ah! Like, he looks insane right there. And again, maybe not to y'all because y'all don't know this guy, but like, he's got big Dabo Sweeney energy. You know what I mean? That's what he brings to the table. Just good, clean cut, old South, dumbass ways. You know what I mean?
We were talking in the early part of the show about like the modern version of America. I mean, it might have always been this way, but someone's been unleashed in like the regular average person where they think of that everybody thinks they get to be a fucking feudal lord tyrant, right? Yeah. And it's like everything I've seen about this guy has this vibe. But I'll play this next video because the contrast when what's being talked about with this picture of Deck is fucking hilarious. We got this video, man.
In these witnesses recounted, Mayor Deck making sexual attempts to see at Thomas or a coworker. During
Is he just holding stalks of corn while somebody being a pervert? Like,
y'all won't come get this corn?
Yeah.
No, well, here's the deal. And again, allegedly.
That looks like a billboard for like a show at the Comedy Barn in fucking Gatlinburg or something like that.
Yeah. Or honestly,
Corn Cob Carry this Friday.
It also looks like it looks like it would be carved out of wood and have a hole where his face is so people could stand behind it and have their picture taken in the back of it. But no, the reason that's funny, the reason that corn is specifically funny, and I know you didn't intend to talk about this, but here I am, because I got to give you the shit you can't know. You know what I mean? So he is the watermelon man, okay? I know I've sang that several times, but now I'm saying it just with words. He would get watermelons, so everybody would go get their watermelons from him, right? Because you don't want none of that grocery store watermelon. No, we're down here in the country. We got to have that homegrown now, and I got that homegrown. Okay, y'all come on and get you some, you know? And so that for years he was that, and then he ended up starting a restaurant called the Melon Patch to sort of piggyback off of that, which was very successful. I knew a lot of people that worked there. Then in a promo move, these commercials were super regional, but damn it, I wish I'd have told Matt and I could get him to pull it up. There was these commercials for a title cash in loan place or something on Russell Boulevard, and their mascot was this big chicken that would come out and just go, "Hey, do you need your credit proved? You need to get you a loan? I got it. And there was a statue of this chicken. And that place closed down, and Trey bought the statue of the chicken and just put it in front of the Melon Patch. And it was very weird because that commercial was the most famous thing around here. So nobody was thinking, ooh, nice original chicken. Everybody that drives by is like, is that the credit loan chicken in the Meat and Three's parking lot? What the fuck is happening? But the controversy is, though, many people over the years allegedly saw this man on multiple occasions at out-of-town grocery stores just stocking up on watermelons. So the hashtag "Where's the Farm Tray" got trending on Chickamauga socials. And now we think that he wasn't actually, I mean, he did have watermelons, but they did not hit.
What? So it feels like it'd be an easy enough case of investigative journalism to find out whether or not he has a watermelon patch or how big it is or how hard it hits or whatever.
Until now, nobody ever wanted to look further into this man's life. You know what I mean? Right. It was fine to just not get his fucking watermelons. You didn't have to call the BBB or anything. That was okay.
So would you say this guy's been a pillar of the community for, you know, years before?
I mean, yeah, he has, actually, big time. That don't mean shit to me.
When did he get elected mayor originally?
Bro,
how long has he been mayor?
I can't remember. And what's hilarious is when I heard that he had not only ran for mayor, but won, I was like, wait a minute, Trey Deck? And I said, where's, like, he beat Ray Crowder? And she goes, honey, Ray Crowder's dead. And I said, oh, is that how he gets to be the mayor? You know? And she goes, honey, Ray hasn't been our mayor in 11 years. Mm-hmm. He died 11. I point that out to you to say, it's never mattered. The whole deal in the 90s is everybody, I go, wait, we have a mayor? And everybody was like, yeah, he mows some people's grass. You know, he ain't got nothing else to do. And he's a nice guy. And that really was it. We knew it was a powerless position. And then all of a sudden, they've done a reverse Buckingham Palace and just been like, no, you know what? We do hit.
Do you remember what are the campaign issues for, like, because usually you run for mayor. You say you don't have people who agree with you. And I understand exactly what you're saying, but you're not deciding. You're not deciding whether or not to, like, set state tax rates or invade Iraq or whatever. It's like, do you want to take your small city budget and spend it on a third stoplight or put a couple speed bumps in somewhere, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's why cities like this get so dramatic about this stuff, is because everyone here voted for the same president, the same everybody down the line, all that. They have the same opinion, most of them. Obviously, I live here too. So I think in this case, they're like, damn, everybody here believes the same thing we do, but we still want to stir shit up, so we have to get we just have to get personal. They can't say, hey, you know, Trey Deck wants our girls basketball team has been bad at Gordon Lee for a while, which is not true. Trey Deck has proposed that we cut the dicks off of every boy at Gordon Lee and they go play for the women, right? and we can't have that. No, none of that shit. It's just fucking watermelon shit and goddamn.
So local watermelon kingpin branches off into politics and assumes, you know, leadership position pretty quickly. What is happening?
Deck was, according to this news story, which I like, the local new coverage of this has been awful. I don't think because they know him personally, but I couldn't find, like, this is Fox story out of Atlanta to figure out what he was actually said, because the local story alluded to it, but nobody would say what would fucking happen.
Oh, I know what it is.
So Deck is accused of sexual harassment using racist language. A female city staff member testified that the mayor repeatedly told her she looked hot or like a hoe.
She detailed an instance recently,
December 3rd. She detailed an instance as recent as December 31st when she wore red pants to work.
Yeah.
What a whore. She wore red pants.
You can't do that anymore. Come on. Lady. Damn. Or you think you're at a Methodist church? Fuck.
The woman testified she told the mayor she felt uncomfortable, to which he allegedly responded that he could call her that because he was the mayor.
Yeah.
The woman
Mayor
also alleged the... They also alleged the mayor said he should be referred to as master or king.
See,
I wonder who he voted for, though. Did they tell that? Did they put that? And where was he on January 6th? Like, is it in there?
But it's just like Mark was. I mean, I get now why you set that up earlier, Mark. But yeah, everybody wants to be their own like little tyrant or feudal lord now. Yeah. And like that's, you know, that's the only reason for even wanting to be mayor for this watermelon fella.
That's what I'm just saying. So it was powerless.
Right, but he had to have whatever modicum of power he had obtained. He had to, you know, lord
it. He's elected to a ceremonial position over a town of 2,900 people where his job's mainly to do like ribbon cuttings at the Piggly Wiggly. Mm-hmm. And he thinks he gets to be called king, gets to write a prima nocta. What the fuck is going on here?
Right. And we're a place where, by the way, I'm the one who's written a book out of it. You know what I mean? Imagine, and I barely got that out. Imagine how, you know, I'm just saying. They're not sending their best, you know, here.
I love my town.
Don't kill me.
There are other people back up this lady's statements, by the way. Witnesses noted that the woman appeared very upset by the remarks. The mayor calling her a whore because she's wearing red pants. Imagine her being upset. Some witnesses testified that Deck was often flirty with women, and he described himself as powerful due to his position.
I got the key to the rusty water tower if you girls won't get up here with a bottle of skeet.
He said, okay, this don't just have testimony, they have a voicemail he left where he made a reference to a dog and used racial slurs, which I gathered from context was the N-word. He
goes,
shake hands. Yeah.
Yeah,
quote, shake hands if you're a dog. Okay, you're not a dog, Deck has heard saying in one clip. What the fuck? Okay, so you tell us what's going on in this voicemail.
His dog, there's an audio recording of his dog had started barking, and so he opened the door, and when he opens the door, the dog goes out, and he goes, hey, you want to go get you some, and he just kept saying, you want to go get you some N-words, right? And everybody was like, and I swear to God, dude, when that was leaked on Chickamauga Facebook, right, and this lady, not trying to hit, in all earnest, goes, now, hey, before we judge him, that might just be his pet name for the dog. And sometimes, you know, like, whatever. It's like,
right. Like that makes it fine.
Yeah. And everybody was like, that's true, Carol. We didn't think about that. You are right. Trust in the Lord. He will provide. And
so you said, I saved that comment. It was a comment apparently on the live stream for the hearing where they were kicking him out of office. Okay. And there's a woman named Kathy, whose last name I won't.
Yeah, no.
Last names I won't say. But it's even dumber than what you're saying off memory, because
she says,
so what? That was a trigger word for his dog to attack. That is a word he doesn't use regularly if it is used for a dog trigger word to attack intruders. She is saying that is proof that he only rarely sends the N-word by creating a false universe where it's an MK-Ultra word to activate his dogs to attack somebody who's in his yard for some reason. It doesn't happen, and it wasn't even, he just let the dogs out.
It's also, that just is what he was doing, except he was joking. He's literally saying, I don't know if these were bloodhounds or what, but he's like,
it was, he's got
his
Bichon hood
and his torch ready, and he's like, you want, you know, let's go get us some, you know, like back in Pappy's day. Like, he literally was joking about sicking a dog on a black man, except he used the N-word. And then she basically is just like, that's just how he sinks his dog on black men is all that is.
I want to be fair to Kathy here and fair to her morally, but say what is she alleging is even stupider. But let's be real here. He's not letting out bloodhounds to actually. He's letting out.
I know
some
he's not actually doing that, but that's what he's alluding to.
Yeah,
right. He's like
very
foghorn
leg horny.
He's
I don't
joking
remember that
about
episode,
sick.
But.
He's joking about sicking his schnauzers on imaginary black people who are not in his yard while he lets his dogs out.
Right.
And this lady is creating a false universe where instead what he's doing is actually sicking real life attack dogs on white people by using the N-word.
Okay.
Therefore, he's not racist.
Right. So she got there. She got that's like the first comment too, isn't it? Didn't take her no time. She already.
What is this fucking town?
Kathy was like, it's clear to me what's happened here.
She would bury me inside the Gucci store.
This is a town, by the way. We talk about this being a cartoon town. When Corey runs to the corner store, the cashier makes I have no idea what the race of the cashier, but the cashier makes Chinese fake accent noises at Corey.
Right.
Like, and in case you forgot how they sound.
And goes, Corey does not know why.
She chong China
to me. To Corey, she does
just
that.
Me. I've seen her not do it to anyone. But then I get up there and she goes, oh, thank you.
I've seen her not do it to anyone. Is a funny
a
thing.
Lot. I know
about almost all the time. It's all all I see her doing is not that to anyone. One. Yeah. Anyway,
back in the real world in this stupid ass town. Early Monday. This is last Monday, I believe. Deck and his attorneys released a public safety notice of warning of a potential threat tied to the meeting and urging residents to consider whether attending in person was necessary. So.
Yep.
Trey Deck alleged that terrorist threats, the hearing where they were going to vote him out of office, he tried to say that he was going to be murdered, so he could not go, so therefore they shouldn't hold the hearing.
Accurate.
I can't, but I just like the fact that he basically announced that you can't fire me because of the terrorism, bro, is just the funniest fucking thing. It's a town of 2,900 people. Dude. My question to you, Corey, is how many Hamas cells are active in Chickamauga, Georgia?
Just Corey. He's the only one.
No, 23 and me, according to the census.
23 and me.
Oh, man, I've been waiting on an excuse to use that pun, and you gave it to me. Thank you, buddy.
All right, so Deck has filed a lawsuit based upon two claims. One is that his due process rights were violated because they sprung this on him and didn't have he wants basically the equivalent to a criminal trial with the right to call witnesses before being removed from office by the city council. He's also, the second part of this is also funny. Because the city charter does not include the right for basically a full criminal trial for the mayor before he was being removed, he's alleging that the Chickamauga town charter is unconstitutional. He wants to go to the Supreme Court to be reinstated as mayor of Chickamauga.
The Totino Supreme Court. Down
how can
here.
You be mayor of a town that shouldn't exist? You know what I mean? If the town charter is unconstitutional, that means the town is illegitimate, and you can't be mayor of not a town, right?
Let me say this. They should kill all of us and give it to Palestine. That's what I think. You know what I mean? Let them deal with it. God damn.
Yeah, but I was thinking the same thing, Trey. Like, how can you be like, he's trying to get the whole town, basically he's trying to get the town abolished if they won't let him be mayor of it. And so he's like,
is he out? Like, he's gone?
Yes, Evett Parrish is mayor pro temp right now.
Okay, what's this person's name?
Evett Parrish. I went to high school with Evett. Evett's actually, Evett is a very nice guy, and, that's all I have to say about that. he is. Like, look, man. Okay. All right. Fuck it. All right. So, anyways, there's a lot of... Again, this is where we get into allegedly and maybe I'm paraphrasing mode. You know what I'm saying? But, so, one thing that's been happening is there's this property of land, right? Over here where we used to call Mill Village because, you know, when people used to have mills, that's where it was, and that's where the people left. But now it's still that 30 years later, of course. There's a big piece of property, and the city has just been gifted it. And there's a controversy over that because what they think is – what they allegedly think is happening is that Haney, I think, is trying to do some shady – allocation deal to get, you know, maybe the city to pay the taxes for a personal thing because nobody really knows where it was gifted from. You know what I mean? So there's that. Yeah, there's that aspect of it. And then there is he, you know, so he's the city manager. Most dude, even towns not that.
So can I ask a question here?
Yeah.
So Haney is the city manager.
Yes. He used to be a cop, too, if that helps.
Okay. So Haney's his first name, last name?
Michael Haney. It's Michael Haney. Okay. I'm sorry.
So you know all these people. I just want to make sure clear.
Oh, I know audience. Everybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm kind of walking on, you know, thin water.
So just maybe some corrupt chicanery involved in the land deal that Mayor Deck had to be pushed aside for because he was standing in the way of it or something.
And again, and I'm not saying that. I'm just saying those pieces are being put together and people are drawing their own conclusions. And I mean, yeah, like if I didn't, it's when you do know people personally, it's really wild. When you know people personally and then a thing happens that if it happened in another town, you could figure it out so quickly. Like you would go, well, what's the course of this? But when it's people you know and you have their backstory and you have all the context, you go, guys, y'all don't know. No, that's not true. But then you go, fuck, that's just how the world works. We don't know shit. You know what I mean?
First of all, I feel confident saying this considering the voicemail and stuff. I would not want Trey Deck to be my mayor. And I think it's fine for him to be removed in a normal process. This doesn't appear to be a normal process.
No, it appears to be kangaroo court as fuck.
It appeared to be he woke up Monday morning happy and comfortable as the mayor of this of Chickamauga. And then read the city council agenda that he was going to be removed that evening. It was like Joe Pesci walking into the basement in Goodfellas.
Yeah. They've got blue tarps down with mud on them.
Yeah. They didn't tell anybody this shit was going on. Uh-uh. And then, so like, the whole town tries to show up to the to see what the fuck is going on in the city council meeting. But the town council, city council chambers only hold 60-some people. So not everybody can get in. So another city councilman, a guy by the name of Matthew Knave, I'm assuming you know, because he's not that much younger. He looks like even younger than you. Mm-hmm. He's like, tries to table the resolutions they can have so people can speak on it, can feel strongly. And this fucking silence him and shut the fuck up and vote the mayor out anyway.
Yeah.
So complete lack of transparency going on here, and they didn't at least any of the evidence they were going to use against the deck before the hearing. Yeah. There really was no due process, and I don't think he deserves a criminal trial. But also, I feel like the people should be able to weigh on this for like a day or two.
Agreed. Two things there. Number one, I forgot to mention the part where they are coming back and saying, "Hey, we have no proof that here the voice you heard in that was me. That could have been AI." Like there's an AI element to this now. They're doing deep fakes of him calling dogs the N-word just in case, you know, just in case he can't fuck this one up on his own. You know what I mean? And just like this is funny because it goes the inverse. Like because I'm the one in the town looking out. If I'm from any other place and I saw this going on, I'd go, oh my God, yeah, you've got it. Dude, there has to be due process. Like, this is kangaroo court. This is fucked up. I don't care what the parties are, who the people are. The law is the law. But because I live here, I'm like, oh, fuck it. Just who gives a shit about the Constitution? Nobody gives a fuck here. We don't know. If we have a town constitution. I didn't know that shit. And what we got just like, we the people and Marcus Dupree won. You know, we're here. We got coon scaps, and we I said coon scaps, didn't I?
Coon scaps.
I can't save it.
All right.
That does make it sound like there was some ulterior motive. It's like, because I almost made a joke a couple times about how I can't believe in Chickamauga this is enough to get a mayor fired. You know what I mean? It's like,
no,
I
figured dude,
that
nobody
what got him
shit.
Elected. He put that in his campaign ads, you know?
Yeah.
My dog called my dog the N-word. Vote for me, you know? But, but so that coupled with the fact that they didn't present any kind of evidence until after the fact and it all happened very fly by night and everything, I mean, you know, I don't want to be conspiratorial, but that does make it sound like there was some kind of ulterior motive. Someone else decided this guy's got to go for some bullshit. And they were like, what are we going to use as justification? We're like, oh, tons of stuff. He says the N-word all the time.
Release the N-word files.
Calling women whores and stuff. We got all that, you know.
That's why I can't really even like even though this all does seem corrupt, like Deck hasn't said anything. It feels like there's a war between two different corrupt purposes, and he can't say what the real reason is because that would be a confession. But let's say like to pull this next. I want to put this still image in this video if you got it, Matt. I want to show you this guy's hat and how conspiratorial this is.
Yeah, this is my favorite shit I've ever seen. Spitting.
Yeah. No spittin'. More big.
No more
frogs
big frogs
in little pond
in the Chickamauga Mafia.
Yeah. See? So,
hey, something else going on here, boys.
This land deal Corey's talking about.
It's always the money at the end of the day. You know?
I'm going to tell you this. If it's got something to do with the Chickamauga Mafia, I fucking said my last word. I'm not doing that shit. Hell no.
But it's like, so Deck isn't saying what the real conspiracy is here because he said he got think he wants to do his own corrupt land deal, allegedly. Yeah.
Yes.
But so instead they're going with he was taken out by the deep state on behalf of Big Watermelon, which is essentially what they're going with.
Yeah.
So,
dude.
So I just want to say here, it's the families that suffer the most here, and I want to read here from it. You sent me a screen grab off of Facebook posted by one Jacob Deck, who I'm assuming is Mayor Trey Deck's son.
Yep.
All right.
He is.
Quote, just wanted to let everybody know that I have officially stepped away from raising Flemish giant rabbits. It wasn't an easy decision. It definitely wasn't something I took lightly. Sometimes you have to step back to grow.
Yep. Corey's struggling right now because there's long-standing war with that boy.
That's Frost.
I know who that guy is from rabbit fame over here at Knowing Corey. I did not realize that that was this mayor's son or whatever.
Don't it make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So I just want to say, like the reason, really reason why I want to talk about this is like, look, every type of government has dinguses and corrupt dipshits in it. We should be allowed to laugh at them.
Of course.
This is the point. Freedom of information laws. Public hearings. We get to laugh at the fucking mayor's dipshit son raising his rabbits.
So, Mark,
I had no idea if he had any personal.
I didn't know. I couldn't know.
Nobody else even has to know. We are out of time, though. It's been a lot of fun. I like this little small town update we've done. I look forward to seeing how it all plays out.
Anytime.
As long as Corey doesn't end up underneath the melon patch after going against the Chickamauga Mafia. So.
Watermelon shoes at the bottom of Lake Chickamauga. Yep.
All right. Well, that's it for Weekly Skews this week. See me on the road, trackrider.com, please. Listen to Good Skews, producer Matt's audio exclusive. Consider support signing up on Patreon, weeklyskews.com/more, or just go to Patreon and search for my name. We're doing a Q&A right now, so you can ask us your burning questions. But, yeah, that's it. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. Bye.
I can be at CoreyWritesForYou.com.
There you go. CoreyWritesForYou.com. Check that out, too. Love you. Bye.